Welcome to Insights for Eternity with Pastor John Edmiston. In-depth Bible teaching that will prepare you for life and for ministry. If you would like some formal training, which is very affordable, go to his website at harvesttimeinstitute.org. That is HARVESTIME Institute.org. Now, open your Bibles as we listen to today's lesson.
Hi, this is John Edmiston, Insights for Eternity. Welcome to another program. And in today's program, we're continuing through the book of Luke, and we're getting to the end of chapter 4, and we're looking at the mighty miracles of Jesus and his power and his authority over disease, demons, death, and all kinds of things. And so we're going to be looking at that today. And open your pens, your Bibles, and your notebooks, because here at Insights for Eternity, we teach those who teach others, so you can go out and be a productive pastor or teacher in the kingdom of God. And before we do that, let's pray. Father in heaven, this is your word. It is true. It tells us about your glorious Son, Jesus Christ. Help us to know Jesus better by the end of this broadcast. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we're in Luke chapter 4. Jesus has just begun his ministry. He's been going through a lot of things in his life. And so he just leaves the synagogue and he starts doing miracles. Let's look at it. Luke 4, 38 to 44. And he arose and left the synagogue and entered Simon's house. Now, Simon's mother-in-law was ill with a high fever, and they appealed to him on her behalf. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her, and immediately she rose and began to serve them. Now, when the sun was setting, all those who had any who were sick with various diseases brought them to him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And demons also came out of many, crying, "You are the Son of God." But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak, because they knew that he was the Christ. And when it was day, he departed and went into a desolate place. And people sought him and came to him, and would have kept him from leaving them. But he said to them, "I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose." And he was preaching in the synagogues of Judea. So we find that Jesus comes into Simon's house, and when he's in Simon's house, he gives Simon a blessing. It says that when you take a prophet into your house, you get a prophet's reward and peace. When you take a disciple into their house, you get a disciple's reward and peace. Now, they were taking Jesus, the Son of God, into their house. They were welcoming the man of God, in this case, the very Son of God, into their house. And there was a sickness there. There was a tragedy going on, because in those days, a high fever, as even today, a high fever is very, very dangerous. And this was Simon's mother, and probably older, and everyone was concerned about her health. This high fever could have struck her down in the prime of her life. We're guessing that Simon Peter was about 30 at this time, perhaps around the same age as Jesus. So his mother would have been 50 or 60, perhaps. And she was elderly and she was frail, and she had this high fever. And so everyone appeals to Jesus. And this is something you should do when you have a sickness in your house, when something comes upon you. Even when Jesus is present, this fever was still there. Something had to be done. Jesus had to exercise his great authority. But they came to Jesus and said, "Please, Jesus, heal Simon Peter's mother heal Simon Peter's mother-in-law." And they were crying out to him for help in this department. And so he healed them. Now, we know that Simon Peter was married. He was one of the married apostles. And Paul was not, and Barnabas was not. So he finds some workers of the kingdom of God here. It's his mother-in-law, so he had a wife and presumably children and a family. And he cared for that family. And he called to Jesus on behalf of his family, on behalf of his mother-in-law, who was living in the same house as him and his wife. Now, as we'll find out, Simon Peter was a fisherman, and he had a small business and was doing quite well. He was a free man. He had his own boats. He had his own business. And he had his own house. He had prosperous in some way. So what does Jesus do? Jesus stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her, and immediately she rose and began to serve them. So here we see a mighty exercise of the authority of Jesus Christ over the fever. The fever had a grip on the woman, but Jesus was greater than the fever. And we need to realize that when we say a disease has a grip on us, it can't leave us, it's got hold of us, it seems to have taken over our life, but Jesus is greater than any disease. He rebukes the fever. Perhaps it had a demonic origin of some sort. In the next few verses, we find he's laying hands on people, but here he uses a word. He rebukes the fever and it departs from her. And it says in James that the elders of the church should get together with anointing oil and lay the hands on those who are sick, and the prayer of faith will raise him or her up who has been sick. So it's our job to pray for the sick or to appeal to Jesus, and then the authority of Jesus, the power of Jesus, the name of Jesus, which operates through us as believers, will heal the sick. Healing the sick is not just a thing that's in the past, it's in the present as well. And some people have mighty miracle healing capacities, and they are a blessing to the body of Christ. And just a couple of weeks ago, I had very bad sciatica pain. It was going down my leg, and went forward in church, and I asked my pastor to pray for me, and the pastor prayed for me, and the pain went away. It went from very bad, so I could not sleep and could hardly sit in church, to much, much less, to a very mild pain. It wasn't healed completely, but it was enough to nudge me to go to a physiotherapist and get the last little bits fixed. We need to do that as well, and I needed to take better care of my health, so it was a warning. But my pastor prayed, and instantly his hands were hot on my back. I felt the heat coming through my body, and I knew something was different, and I was able to sit comfortably and was no longer in pain. I could get some sleep at night. So that's a miracle of God. It was an amazing miracle to me. And so healing is common. Healing happens. Healing happened to me just a couple of weeks ago, and you may see healing happening all around you in the power of the name of Jesus. Now, what was her reaction? She got up and she served them. She served the household. She got up and she got busy. So when you're healed to serve. When you're healed spiritually, when you're healed mentally, when you're healed physically, you get up and you serve. We find that also with Dorcas in the book of Acts. She's raised from the dead and she gets up and she starts helping people because that was her nature. She went around even after she'd just been raised from the dead. So healing's not just for healing's sake. Healing's there to raise up people so that they can serve God. And if God heals you, go and proclaim it to the rooftops and get up and do the service that God has appointed for you in this life. Don't be inactive. Her reaction to Jesus was to turn around and serve Jesus. So when you're saved, when you're delivered, when you're filled with the Holy Ghost, when the demons are cast out of you or out of your family, be gracious and turn around and serve God in some way according to the gift that he has given you. Now it comes on to verse 40. Now when the sun was setting, all those who had any who were sick with various diseases brought them to him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. So every single person there, and there must have been hundreds, it was an enormously long healing service, I'm sure, because he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. Every one of them got healed. They were healed by the mighty power of Jesus. It wasn't just one person. There were probably hundreds being brought to him. And they were brought to Jesus. So when you know there's a healing evangelist in your area or someone you can bring to church, bring people to Jesus. Bring people to the anointing. Bring people to where God is active and moving. And you go and get to the place where God is active and moving. Don't stay where nothing's happening. If you're just going around and your faith is just a mental faith, it's just in your head, it's just stuff you're thinking about, you need to get near a revival. You need to get around people who know how to pray, who know how to see healing happen, who know how to see miracles happen, and take yourself to them. Take yourself to the anointing, because it's the anointing that breaks the yoke. The anointing will shatter the bonds in your heart and your mind, and God will move in you and deliver you from various things that have been afflicting you. So go to Jesus and go to where Jesus is turning up today. Go to places where God is active and real. An evangelistic crusade it might be. It might be a Bible college. might be a prayer meeting, but get to the place where God is moving in your midst. Don't stay around dead things. Don't stay around sick things. Go to places that are living and alive and full of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can smell, taste, and touch the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ in some places. Hang out there. Head straight to the place of revival, and then you will find healing, then you will find deliverance, then you will find hope. And that's what they did. They brought their sick, they brought the ones that were demon-possessed, they brought those that were suffering and afflicted in many ways straight to the feet of Jesus, and he laid his hands on them, and they were healed, because Jesus is the Son of God. He is King of kings, he is Lord of lords, and at the name of Jesus, everything must bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. For all authority has been given to him in heaven and on earth. We know that from Matthew. So disease must bow at the name of Jesus. Death and suffering must bow at the name of Jesus. Poverty and loneliness must bow at the name of Jesus. Jesus has authority to restore you in your relationships, in your health, in your finances, and above all in your spiritual life. He can take you from darkness to light spiritually. God can take you from darkness to light. He can take you out from under the power of the devil, redeem your soul, and set you fit for heaven. He can take you out from the afflictions of evil spirits and spells, and he can bring you out to joy and peace and love and all the good things of the kingdom of God. Do not doubt Jesus. He is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. His authority is absolute, and you can come to him because at his name, your diseases and problems can be addressed, because he has the authority to lay hands on people and to heal the sick. And he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Jesus can touch you right now, even as you're listening to this broadcast. Say, Jesus, touch my life. Jesus, touch my life right now, just as you did in the days of old, because Jesus hasn't changed and he still loves you and he still cares for you. So, and then and demons came out of many crying, "You are the Son of God." But he rebuked them. He rebuked these demons and would not allow them to speak because they knew that he was the Christ. And that's verse 41 of Luke chapter 4. So here the demons are coming out of people. What does that mean? Well, the demons were inside the people to begin with. Well, how does a demon get inside a person? A demon gets inside a person because of anger, resentment, sin, involvement in the occult, unforgiveness, and all sorts of sins against God that invite the demonic. Participation in the darkness of some sort, participation in idolatry, particularly where the worship of idols brings demons into the house. Demons love idols, they love the occult, they love witchcraft and spells, and they will enter into anyone that engages in witchcraft, spells, the occult, some forms of false teaching, sexual immorality, and all kinds of evil and wickedness, gambling, alcohol. Demons will enter into people who expose themselves deliberately and consciously to all kinds of sin. So the demons had entered into these people. They'd got a foothold into them. It says, particularly anger allows demons to dwell in us. And it says, be angry, but do not sin, and do not give the devil a foothold. And that means if you're full of resentment, you give the devil a foothold to come into your life. He gets a bit more ground and a bit more ground, and you get angrier and angrier, and soon the demonic has taken a big chunk of your life. And if you think the demonic is taking a chunk of your life, pray something like this. Lord Jesus Christ, I've given my life over to sin, and I believe a demon is within me. I command this demon to leave in your name, and I give all the ground that I may have given to that demon over to the Lordship of Jesus Christ to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I'll explain that prayer and I'll give it to you again. If you think you've got some demonic influence in your life, and that can happen to Christians, I'll explain that in a minute. Just say, pray the following prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, I believe that I have sinned and given ground to the devil. I now repent of my sins, and I give over any ground that the devil may have taken in my life over to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and the infilling of the Holy Spirit. So you're giving the ground back to God. You're confessing that sin. You're getting it out of your life. You might need to name the sin. So how can demonic beings get a foothold, particularly in a Christian? If you go back to Ezekiel 8, we find the temple was invaded by demonic presences. People were setting up idols all through the ancient temple before the Babylonians invaded. and it was full of all kinds of abominations. But the sacred site, center, the Holy of Holies, still had the Ark of the Covenant and still had the Spirit of God and the anointing of God. And Ezekiel's showing all the evil things that they're doing in the temple. So we have a temple, and our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. And if we're saved, Jesus is there in the Holy of Holies. But in the outer rooms of our personality, in the outer rooms of our soul, sin can dwell, wickedness can dwell, demons can dwell. And that's where they need to be expelled from. They're not there right in the core where Jesus is. They can't get near the core of your being, but they can still be there in the outer rooms of your soul. And you need to cleanse out everything. You need to confess all your sins to God. And you need to say, Jesus, I need these demons out of my life. I need these evil influences out of my life. I need my addiction to gambling gone. I need my addiction to drugs or alcohol or whatever's afflicting your life, fornication, adultery, any other sin that's taken command of your life. You need to say, Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in the days of the internet now, pornography has a terrible grip on people. If you're watching pornography on your phone or on your computer or anywhere, you need to repent of that. You need to block it. You need to get it out of your life. Stop getting involved with rubbish like that, because it invites the demonic into your life, and the demonic will take you downhill, and judgment will come upon you, just as it did on Israel for indulging demonic presences. So you need to get the authority of Jesus, and you need to use the authority of Jesus. If you're a minister or pastor, you need to learn how to cast demons out of people. If you want to know more about that, how to get free from the demonic, go to globalchristians.org/cleansing. That's the website, globalchristians.org/cleansing. I'll repeat it again, globalchristians, one word, .org/cleansing for spiritual cleansing. And there's a prayer there that you can use and that you can share with others to help them get free from occult influences. And they were crying out, they were saying, Jesus, you are the Son of God. The demons knew that Jesus was the Messiah, but the high priest didn't. The people sensed that Jesus was the Messiah, but the high priest and the religious people refused to know that. They were blinded by their own religion, but even the devil knew that Jesus was the Messiah and the very Son of God, because the spirits can sense other beings in the spiritual realm, and they knew that Jesus had arrived and was there to cast them into the pit eventually and destroy the rule and reign over this planet. But Jesus would not allow them to speak, because it wasn't time for that revelation to be put out there in the public. People weren't to know that yet. They were to learn a lot before Jesus would declare himself to be the Messiah. And then after all this long healing session, which may have lasted all night, it says, and when it was day. So he might have been going for hours and hours into the night, praying for people healing, casting out demons. And when it was day, he departed and went into a desolate place. And the people sought him and came to him and would have kept him from leaving them. They wanted Jesus there as their permanent solution provider. They didn't want to have to do spiritual work themselves. They wanted Jesus just to be permanently parked there, healing the sick and casting out demons. They wanted to own Jesus. None of us own Jesus. We don't own him. He owns us. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We cannot put restrictions on Jesus. And he had a lot of other places to visit, a lot of other places to bless. But when Jesus is there, when Jesus is traveling through, do not let him pass you by. When Jesus is moving in your church or in your region, go to Jesus, because he's moving. The Spirit of God moves across the face of the earth. And sometimes the revival is here and then it's over there. Find the revival. Go to it. Get in the presence of God. But Jesus said, no, I can't stay with you. This is what he says. But he said to them, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose. And he was preaching in the synagogues of Judea. So Jesus had a purpose. He had a purpose to share the gospel of the kingdom of God. Well, what's the gospel of the kingdom of God? The gospel of the kingdom of God is the rule and reign of God in this earth. It's taking this earth back from the devil. The devil took charge after the Garden of Eden. He took charge of this earth, and he eventually set up all sorts of demonic structures, mainly before the flood and both after the flood. The demons flooded the earth. They had intercourse with women. They made strange creatures and giants of old. And then the flood came and wiped out the demonic age and brought in a new age through Noah and through Abraham. But the devil started setting up all these odd religions, all these demonic religions like Baal and Ashtaroth and things. And Jesus has come to tear down their strongholds. These religions were imitations of God's true religion. They looked a little bit like God's true religion. They had priests, they had offerings, they had temples, but they were evil, evil to the core. And they sacrificed children through the fire and things like this. So the earth was under the dominion of all these demonic beings and all the countries and tribes of the earth. And Jesus has come to declare the kingdom of God, that Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and that God is taking back the earth step by step. That's the kingdom of God. That's the Great Commission. We go out, we proclaim the gospel, we take back this earth from a sinful state into a redeemed state. We take it back from the power of the devil, and we hand it over to the power of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And the kingdom of God is accompanied by signs and wonders to declare the presence of God in our midst. So there's healings, there's miracles of provision, there's transformed lives, there's demons cast out of people. These are the signs of the kingdom of God amongst us. And Jesus says, look, the finger of God, the power of God is amongst you, and that these demons are being cast out. God's authority is getting rid of evil out of people, out of their hearts, their minds, and their bodies. He's healing diseases. This is announcing the presence of the kingdom. And if you go in the book of Acts, they preach the gospel of the kingdom of God, and there's signs and there's wonders and there's people speaking in tongues and there's people prophesy, there's people getting born again, there's churches starting. That's the power of the kingdom of God. The church does not advance through the methods of men. It doesn't advance through lots of logic and lots of human arguments and things like that. The logic is a very good thing to have, and it's certainly knowledge of the Bible is a very good thing to have. But the kingdom of God advances one step at a time, one miracle at a time, one anointing at a time, one new person changed at a time, until it takes over the world. And it takes it over as a mustard seed. The mustard seed plant generates lots of seeds that go from to the next paddock and the next paddock, and soon the whole place is full of mustard seed plants. It was considered a pest, but that's the kingdom of God. It's like a pearl that people find and celebrate that they have found the kingdom of God. They found entrance to the kingdom of God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's how it grows. So Jesus had to announce this kingdom, that it's here, that God is taking over the world, that he's taking it back, and eventually one day Jesus will be declared to King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and the kingdoms of this world will be replaced by the kingdom of God and of his Christ at the completion of the end times. So Jesus is announcing the end of the evil system of injustice and greed and toxicity and broken marriages and all the things that make our world so difficult. The kingdom of God is coming to undo the works of the devil. Jesus is going to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's going to be the stone without hands that comes and smashes the huge idolatrous statues that people erect in their own egos to prevent God from ruling over their hearts and their lives. And he says, I must preach, for I was sent for this purpose. God sends people into the world to preach and to do miracles and to declare the kingdom of God. And God got hold of my life and as a new Christian, and he said, you're going out, you're going to be a missionary. I had no idea what really that meant at the time. And I went out, and God sent me into this world to preach and to do good. My role is my role, and you will have a different role in your walk with God. But God sends people. He sends people like Paul and Peter and the disciples, and we'll see that in the next broadcast when he says, I will make you fishers of men. And suddenly it's not just Jesus doing miracles, it's everyone else doing miracles as well. And God's going to call you. He will send you. And Jesus said, I can't stay here. I've got a lot of other places that I need to go to. I must go to the other towns as well. And he preached in the synagogues of Judea. He went, why go to a synagogue? Because that's where people are seeking God. They're the people that are going to turn up to worship. They're going to turn up to hear the scriptures. The other people are not at the synagogue. They're out in the fields. They're in the taverns. They're getting drunk. They're having pleasure. They're not ready to hear from God yet. They have no spiritual interest. But the people that turn up in synagogue are the people that wanted to hear the scriptures. And Jesus, of course, is the fulfillment of the scriptures. So he goes to the synagogues, to the place where people are most likely to be hearing the things of God. And so you can preach in the churches, but you can also preach on the internet and places where people gather to hear the word of God. They're curious on the internet. They say, oh, what have you got to say about this or that? And you can find places and spaces where there are willing listeners, where you can set forth the gospel in power so that you can do transformational work. Don't waste your time on people who are not interested in the gospel, and it's plain that they're not interested in the gospel. Go to the harvest fields, go to the fertile places, not to the hard soil. Someone else can do that, or you can do it later on. But first start where people are most receptive to the message of the gospel, and get out there and do it, because the times are closing, the gate is closing, it's getting darker and darker, the world is getting more and more under the control of the devil and the systems that control this present evil age. The devil is preparing for the battle of Armageddon. He's preparing to take over, and we know that. We sense that in our being. So while it is still light, go and work. Go and share the gospel with the whole world. Go and speak to those nearest and dearest to you, and speak to everyone that is prepared to listen to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we find that Jesus has authority. We found that Jesus has authority over a fever. He rebuked the fever and it left. We find that Jesus was able to cast diseases out of people by laying his hands on them, and through the transmission of power, through the power of flowing through the hands of Jesus, all those people were healed. And then we find that Jesus cast demons out of people by the power of his word. He spoke and the demons were ejected from people, and the demons tried to speak and he silenced them. So he had authority over demons to get them out of people. Demons that had been there for a long while, that had come into people's lives through sin. He casts them out and he cleanses them of those demons, and suddenly they're in their right mind because of the enormous authority of Jesus. You don't have to let demons take control of you. Go to Jesus and say, Jesus, get these demons out of my life. Go to your pastor. Go to people who know how to pray, who know how to intercede. There's no need for you to be under demonic affliction, no matter what you've done in your life. Some of those people were probably very sinful, but they were brought to Jesus, and the demons were cast out of them, no matter what they had done in their past life. And I'm sure they all believed in Jesus and followed Jesus, because Jesus is a miracle-working power of God. He's the Son of God. He's the Messiah. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he will bless you as you come to him and as you bring your family to him. And that's it for today. This is Pastor John Edmiston signing off with Insights for Eternity. God bless you all, and keep reading the book of Luke.
Thank you for listening to Insights for Eternity with Pastor John Edmiston. We hope that you have been blessed. May the Lord strengthen you as you do his work. If you want to contact John Edmiston, just send an email to johned@cybermissions.org. johned@cybermissions.org. May the peace of God be with you.